researchers at the University of Chicago have found that our brains may function differently when we're lonely, in a way that might encourage us to actually avoid other people in social situations, which, of course, would make our loneliness even worse. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He's got more on this. Derek, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Sure. So these researchers, they did two studies. They were both pretty small. What did they find?
These were studies published this summer. You have in one 70 participants, which, as you said, is not a whole lot. About half of them self-identify as lonely, the other half not lonely. And the researchers put electrodes on their heads and showed them a bunch of words that were a combination of social and non-social, positive and negative. Words like party, alone, joy, sad. And these participants, the lucky 70 with the electrodes attached to their heads, they are identifying the color of the word. So the meaning of the word is supposedly sort of slipping in unconsciously. And basically what you see is that lonely brains look different under EEG than non-lonely brains because, and this is the key finding, they are more active, more vigilant, these lonely brains, when confronted with socially negative words. They are attuned to social negativity.
So what does that mean?
To explain by sort of analogy, I was thinking if you're hungry, you're exquisitely sensitive to the smell of food around you. Mm. Or if our listeners are driving, perhaps a sign along the street for a restaurant or a fast food joint perks their interest. Loneliness is similar. When we feel alone, we're exquisitely sensitive to what we don't have, to signs of social negativity.
Okay. But how do we define loneliness here? Because being alone doesn't necessarily mean that you're lonely. Just ask any parent with some kids.
Right. Loneliness is a feeling. So it's not the same as being alone, which is a state. It's a feeling. You are unhappy because there is a gap between the friendships or relationships or intimacy that you want and the social connections that you actually feel. So I think your point is absolutely essential. I don't feel lonely when I'm in my apartment reading a book or watching TV by myself in my apartment. I'm most lonely, really, when I'm surrounded by people I don't want to talk to, when I'm at a party and I don't know anybody. So again, loneliness is not the same as being alone.
But let's talk more about how our brain forces us to avoid contact when that's what we want the most.
Well, I think essentially it goes back to what I said in the first part, which is that loneliness as a feeling makes you exquisitely sensitive to socially negative cues, makes you so exquisitely sensitive to frowns or to people's body language. And the evolutionary psychology explanation might be that, you know, when we were surrounded by strangers that might kill us on the savanna, when we were Homo erectus and Homo habilis and early Homo sapien dealing with these Neanderthals, it was really good to have a brain that was sensitive to social negativity because it kept us from being killed by other bands of nomadic tribes. But now that we're a much safer society, loneliness, the sort of the side effect, the byproduct of this evolutionary psychology outcome is somewhat negative.
Speaking of modern times, we all spend a lot of time now on the internet, or probably most of us do. We shop online instead of going to a store where you might interact with a clerk. You might send a Facebook message instead of picking up the telephone or walking to someone's front door and knocking on it. What do we know about what the internet is doing to us in terms of loneliness?
The internet, I think, is too big to know exactly what it's doing. It's very hard to create a controlled, randomized test to look at people with and without the internet that are similar. On the one hand, look, it's extremely ironic, you could say, that we have, you know, 1,000 Facebook friends and nobody to talk to. 10 years ago when Robert Putnam published his famous book, Bowling Alone, slightly more than 1 out of 10 Americans, 10%, self-identified as lonely. A survey from 2 years ago from Barna Group found that number has doubled, somewhat ironically, in the social media age. But as for causes, I have no idea. You know, explaining why 20% of Americans feel lonely means psychoanalyzing 60 million people from an NPR studio in New York, and I'm not quite so bold. But a few notes. You know, the marriage rate has fallen. You have more single people. Church attendance is down. More people live in the suburbs. Lots of events that used to be communal are now private. We used to go to the movies every single weekend in the 1950s. We used to watch football in stadiums. rooms. Now we have Netflix for our room and we watch football on Sundays on our own couches. I don't want to blame technology for loneliness, but at the same time, I think it ought to be said that not every single technological or social development necessarily leads to greater overall happiness automatically. And it might be true that some decisions we've made along the way have socially isolated us.
Well, maybe sometimes we just have to force ourselves as well to get out of the house and to go to the store or to go to the football stadium. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thanks very much.
Thank you.